Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Last week, Friends of the Earth Europe released a report, Preventing Waste, Recycling Isn't Enough for a Circular Economy. The report shows on solutions to prevent waste of natural resources and highlights the need for EU policies in order to reach the vision of a more resource-efficient and lower-consuming Europe. With us today, we have Ariadna Rodrigo, Resource and Consumption Campaigner at Friends of the Earth Europe. Ariadna, I was wondering if you could tell us about the background, the reason behind writing this report.
This report comes because at the European level in Europe, there's a big discussion now on how we use natural resources. The reason why there's suddenly this kind of big discussion about it is because the price of natural resources is fluctuating a lot and on average increasing. And for the first, for quite a long time, you know, it's been an opportunity to actually put on the table the fact that we consume too much and that we actually need to start reducing significantly our consumption of natural resources to actually live within the limits of our planet. On top of that, there's been a lot of publicity on the fact that despite the recession here in Europe, the levels of waste generated in the continent have not reduced that much. So many decision makers thought that would be a consequence, you know, of the recession, that therefore we would be reducing our waste generation, and it hasn't happened. So I think those two things have been the two signs of a really broken system here in Europe that have highlighted that we need to actually start looking at how we use resources in a more holistic way, in a more comprehensive way that takes into consideration not only Europeans' welfare, but also the limits of our planet.
And the report writes that EU policy needs to take the waste hierarchy into account when writing new policies. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Definitely. I mean, in fact, it seems pretty obvious. We have a waste hierarchy. That means that there's a hierarchy on the steps, so to prevent waste first, then reuse and repair, then recycle, and then waste to energy, and finally landfill. This is the waste hierarchy that's in European legislation, and it was approved in 2008. However, what we see is that most of the policies introduced at the EU level actually do not follow that hierarchy. It makes sense. Everybody also approved, you know, all the institutions approved this hierarchy. All the governments should be governed by this hierarchy, and they should introduce their policies governed by this hierarchy. It's not the case. And we also see that all the economic incentives are the other way around. So the bottom of this waste hierarchy is also promoted economically. It's not really something very complicated to say that we need to promote a more sustainable use of resources that includes a good sustainable material management that reduces waste. But it seems that we have to make that point over and over again, sadly.
Because in the report, you could read that ambitions for encouraging reuse and repair and this broader vision of a more resource-efficient and a lower-consuming Europe appears to be at risk of being abandoned by policymakers.
Definitely.
What has happened?
In November, we started with a new commission in Brussels. This new commission seems to be, not very interested in European legislation. And one of the things they did was they withdrew the circular economy package that the previous commission tabled. The circular economy package was legislation on how to use our resources better and how to reduce waste. So it was not only shocking, but extremely disappointing that one of the first things that the new commission did was to withdraw that. Due to pressure, especially from civil society, including Friends of the Earth, they are finding themselves that they have to retable. They say that they're going to have a new circular economy package, and they say it's going to be better. We want to see whether it's better or not. The information we have is that it's not likely to be better. In fact, it's likely to be not as strong as before. But for me, the big victory in the kind of the last few months was that initially the Commission planned to scrap this legislation altogether. And due to pressure, they have agreed that they're going to retable it at the end of this year.
What kind of policy suggestions are you promoting in this report for the EU?
One of the things we're actually trying to promote very strongly is the link between waste policy, that everybody knows about waste because I would say everybody in Europe produces waste. So we're trying to link this waste policy, which is easily understandable, everybody knows what when you talk about waste, what you refer to, with actually a low-consuming Europe. And that's a harder message to actually get across. Because at the moment, the whole idea is that we need to consume a lot to have a positive GDP. And that means that the European economy will be recovering from recession. So that's one of the things that we're trying to actually highlight the first, that when we talk about waste, we should actually start looking at a sustainable material management across, you know, from the start till the end, not just looking at waste. And then we actually divide the policy recommendations on resource efficiency, for example, on how to use resources better. One of the things that we find is that although we're one of the continents that imports the most materials in the whole world, we still do not know how much of these materials we consume, which ones exactly and in which quantities. So we're really trying to start measuring comprehensively our material footprint in order to introduce policies that would reduce it. So waste would be one. For example, if you reuse and repair more often, you will have, as a result, not buying as many products from the market because you have a product that lasts for longer or it's been repaired and therefore you can use it for longer. So that would be one. But we think actually we need to go beyond that, that we actually need to start thinking about how we can reduce our consumption significantly further than that. So we introduced some policy recommendations on that. And then we focus a lot on the prevention of waste. And we just say recycling is not enough as the solution to all of our problems, which is what many decision makers are trying to sell to us. You know, don't worry if you consume a lot or you produce a lot of waste because you can recycle it and then it's all great. That's not really the case. It's the last resort on how to use our materials. And the other thing that we're doing is we're trying to put a very big emphasis that for a circular economy, incineration and landfill do not have a role to play at all.
The report also highlights community-led projects that are helping Europe to reduce its resource use and waste. The report shows on case studies where you state that it's often local, under-resourced communities guided by principles of sustainability that are at the forefront of improving resource use and waste prevention. Could you give me an example of some of these successful community-led projects?
This is something that for us is very important. The fact that what we see is leadership and innovation, a willingness for transformation from citizens. And we see this sector as one of the main sectors where this is happening. And yet the decision makers are not following those initiatives. So they are actually sometimes struggling a lot, and mainly because the system of incentives is in the wrong places. As I said before, there's a lot of incentives for example, incineration and landfill, and not so much on supporting these citizen-led initiatives. But there are plenty of these initiatives around. The ones that I like the most, for example, is the Repair Café. It's something that started in the Netherlands quite a few years ago. And the fact that somebody was quite fed up with the fact that we buy products, usually products in the European Union, have a two-year warranty. And what happens is many of these products after 2 years, or shortly after 2 years mainly, they break. Then it's very hard to repair them. Most of the places where you could take, for example, your products to be repaired are either closing down or have closed down. And with that, we've lost a lot of skill. Somebody in the Netherlands was just very fed up with that. And basically what she started to do was to create this kind of community gatherings where people would come in with a broken product, you know, they would try to repair it together. And that actually grew very, very quickly as a movement. And on average, what they say is that every 10 products that they see or that they try to repair, 7 are finally repaired, which I think is a very strong incentive to actually engage with this community and really be part of the movement of that. And also they use that to actually demand to decision makers to actually start changing the legislation. So whether it's, you know, making warranties last longer, ensuring that manufacturers make spare parts available for longer. Another one that I really like and that I wish it was more extended across Europe is this kind of idea of the borrowing shop. If you think about how much or for how long we use most of the products that we have at home and most of the things that we have at home, in fact, you would see that we use them for very few minutes. Sometimes the perfect example is a kind of a drill. You know, you go to a new place and you want to put your pictures and you use a drill, and the average life of a drill is around 7 minutes. and then it goes into the cupboard and nobody uses it. So this idea of borrowing shops or borrowing centers is basically the idea that you don't need to own that many things. And it's, you know, it's whether drills, but also maybe board games, maybe even books. You know, libraries are a perfect example of sharing and the sharing economy. Many other things, bikes, and all sorts of items. And those are the sort of initiatives that, again, are led by citizens, that they decided they don't want to own as many things, and that they're happy just sharing things with the local community. But the main thing to highlight really for me is that the whole idea of consuming and having a good life is being challenged more and more here at the European Union or at the European level. People are realizing that you don't need that many things to actually have a good life. And that's, I think, something that we need to put higher up in the political agenda. That there's a very, very strong focus on GDP growth, but GDP growth does not mean reducing inequality. It does not mean better life for people, everybody. It does not mean that at all. And with the recession, we're questioning more and more the idea that just with a positive GDP or growth of GDP, our economies are doing well. And I think that's a very strong movement getting a lot of support here in Europe. And the whole idea of how to use resources better is really getting also into the political agenda, with the idea that we don't have to consume as much to actually have a good life. And, you know, we need to actually value more things, and whether it's free time, whether it's better quality time, that's becoming actually also very important.
And that was Ariadna Rodrigo, resource and consumption campaigner at Friends of the Earth Europe. Thank you, Ariadna, for answering our questions at Real World Radio.
Thank you.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.